It's 10 o'clock.
We ready?
All right.
All right, good morning. I'll call the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, December 20th, 2016, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Good morning. First item is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address topics on today's agenda. Is there anybody wishing to do so? Please come on up. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, first item for us to deal with is discussion for abatement of taxes for an abandoned mobile homes at Crestview Mobile Home Park. This came through me, Brant, I can't think of Brant's last name.
Boomer.
Brant Lemure, who owns Crestview, came to see me after the Board of Health meeting, or after his portion of the Board of Health meeting, and asked that we start abating some of the taxes on some of these mobile homes that he thinks are reverting to his ownership. I told him that anybody was welcome to put anything on the agenda that they wanted to, and then I asked that it be put on as a discussion item, simply because it's my intention, Wayne, that we refer this to Renee and Ethan to do some research on these requests. I don't think that Brant owns these trailers. I think it's hard to request abatement of tax on trailers you don't own. But it feels to me like we're going to have multiple requests like this coming in the next year, and so we better get our ducks in a row. So I don't know how much we need to talk about this today. It's my intent that we, if Wayne agrees, that we refer this to you guys to look into and bring back to the board sometime in January. Wayne, thoughts?
Not knowing all the background relating up to it, but it definitely sounds like, since this is only a discussion part, my take would be, since Renee and Ethan is here, if there are any comments and so forth surrounding this that they want to share, and then obviously the board will at a later date probably take this up for a decision on abatement as we normally do, because quite often on a lot of abatement issues, it's usually on the consent agenda, and there's really little discussion unless it needs to be pulled for some reason.
Here's Brant. So, Brant, we're just talking about this, and where we are right now, and we haven't had any real discussion yet, it's my feeling that there's a lot of confusion about who actually owns these trailers at this point and where we're going. I think it's fair to say you're going to have multiple of these requests coming over the next X number of months, and so we want to get our ducks in a row. And so it's my belief that we refer this question to Renee and Ethan. Ethan's our civil counsel, I think you know Ethan, to really dig into and figure out what the ownership of these trailers are and how it works, and what kind of action the board may or may not take as we get going. Do you have anything you want to add as we talk through this?
Sure. Brant Lemire, 5615 West Lincoln Way, Ames, Iowa. Yes, true what you were saying on a few of them. But these two on question today are very simple. Should be very simple. They've been abandoned for a number of years, a few years anyway. And there was a bill of sale, like I attached on the letter, bill of sale. Apologize for being late, by the way. I don't know what you discussed so far. So yeah, to me it should be pretty straightforward on most of these items coming forward. And as we talked in your office here a couple of weeks back, you know, we were going to tackle a few at a time, one or two at a time. So these first two should be pretty simple, I would suggest.
Well, and so my real initial research, and the reason it raised questions for me, is I don't know that they automatically, I don't think they automatically revert to you when they're abandoned. I think there's a process you've got to go through, and that's the reason that I believe from a county perspective it needs to be referred back to the treasurer to give us a full history on this, and then the legal counsel, just to make sure, especially the first two, Brant, that we're setting it up the right way. we got the same goal as you, right? It's to get that place. Absolutely, we got the same goal, but we got to do it the right way, and I'm not convinced that's where we are at this point.
No, I agree. We got the same goal, and Crestview, I myself do not want them back in my possession. We just want to remove from the property. So that's the same goal that we have, I believe. So it's just to abate the taxes to get either a junking certificate is the goal that I would have, and then it wouldn't be in my possession permanently, and just temporarily to remove it off the property. If to arrange for to move it to the landfill, which local landfill doesn't take them, or just scrap them on the property or dismantle them, whichever the process would be.
Yeah, and like I said, we have the same goal, and that's to get the abandoned trailers off your property and move on. I just believe we're going to need to dig in and make sure, Grant, that we're dotting the I's and crossing the T's as we're supposed to do. And I don't believe that's something that we can do this quickly. So I'm going to suggest that we refer this to Renee and Ethan to work with Grant to come back with a recommendation to the board in January.
Yeah, and I guess my only comment is based on that, and this is more of a legal question, Ethan, for you, based on what you already know and have researched up to this point, do you feel that this request is a reasonable one at this time that we gather additional information in order for the board to move forward in the future?
Yeah, I think each of these trailers will have to be handled on a case-by-case basis, looking at the background and the ownership in particular. And so it would be maybe premature to say whether or not it's appropriate to consider at this time. I think the request for abatements under the code need to come from the treasurer and then approved by the board in a resolution. So this time, I don't think Renee's in a position where she can make a recommendation this morning. There's a process for owners that, or for people, private individuals that have abandoned vehicles left on their property to follow in order to get title. I think that holds true if you're going to dispose of it, if you're going to resell it, if you're going to retain it. You have to follow the procedure. So I think we'll sit down and spend some time with Brant looking over that procedure and helping him through that process, and then we can come back and make a recommendation.
Yeah, and Ethan, I think you just hit on what I'm really interested in. So this is a unique, I hope this is a unique scenario that we're dealing with. We're not going to have to deal with this very often. We need to figure out a way to move through this process, because like you say, it's going to be multiple mobile homes. And so I would ask that you and Renee work with Bram on coming up with what kind of process you would recommend to the Board of Supervisors. And then the first thing the board, I believe, is going to have to do when you guys come back is try to adopt what process we're going to use to try to get through each one of these trailers in as timely a fashion as possible, so that Brant can then do what you need to do, or at least know what steps you have to follow to get there.
Sounds good.
Any comments, Brant?
Yeah, if we have to do that, that's what we'll have to do that. But I think we're complicating this a little simpler. Last May, I believe it was, I submitted 6 homes in the same scenario, and I wasn't even here to in discussion. And went through. It's just a pretty simple deal. Mobile home law procedure, I believe, on this. I'm not too up on it, and Ms. Anderson here should be. But I got to research myself and get up on this. But I think we're complicating it a little bit too much. We'll work with
Brant. I disagree with that. There's nothing simple about this. This is not something that governments deal with regularly. We can deal with abatements, but we don't deal with abatements like this on abandoned homes that we aren't quite sure who owns them at this point. There's nothing simple about this, and you just said yourself, you don't know what you don't know. So let's dig in and figure out what we... Yeah, let's all dig in together and try to figure out exactly what we have to do. Brant, you and I acknowledge as we started this, we got the same goal, right? It's getting you to the end. We got to do it the right way. It's getting you to the end of this.
Oh, yeah, I correct it the right way. But part of that goal as well is a smooth, quick process. And this, I just don't want it to be delayed much, you know.
Right, but the smoothest, quickest process would be for the Board of Supervisors in January to lay out the process where it says to you, Brant, this is exactly what has to happen. These are the steps you have to go through so that we can get it done. you've got to be tired of dealing with the unknown. Let's get you to the known. And the way we do that is we work with Ethan and Renee to get you to the known. Here's exactly what has to happen. It gives the new board a chance to weigh in on exactly what their expectations are, and we'll move through it as rapidly as we can.
Okay.
Okay?
Right. Thank you.
Anything else for us? Renee, do we need to talk about anything today, or you and Ethan good with it just being referred to you to bring back to the board in as timely a fashion as possible?
Yes.
Thanks. Thank you. Consideration of minutes from December 13th.
Move approval.
And I'll second. Any corrections or notations? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Minutes pass. Personnel actions as listed, Wayne.
Move approval as listed.
And I'll second. Any discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Personnel actions pass. Consent agenda. Please add to the consent agenda a contract with Tyco Simplex Grinnell for fire alarm testing inspection at the Human Services Center at $2,559.05. And the reason that that's getting added to the agenda, to the consent agenda, is a greater claim to be paid on an annual basis. We missed it due to next week's claims-only meeting. So let's see if we can add that to the consent agenda first. And then I'm going to want to pull it once we add it. So start with agreeing to add it.
Okay, and this one is a little bit different than...
So let's start with this, Wayne. Move to add Tyco Simplex to the consent agenda.
Okay. In order for discussion, I would move.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll second. So we're not approving the consent agenda here. We're just adding that.
Right.
Clinton?
Yeah, aye.
Sanders, aye. Now, I would like to pull that contract from the consent agenda for discussion.
Okay.
So, now, we got consent agenda.
Move approval with noted changes.
And I'll second.
Line, that will be pulled.
Yep. Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. So, that leaves us with the contract with Tyco Simplex, which was not added in the 24-hour deadline for us to be able to deal with this today. So I'm going to suggest that we defer action on this to our next regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting, which I believe is January 3rd, since next week is the claims only. Is that right?
Correct.
Why would this not be a claim if it's a payment? That's my question. It's an annual payment.
The claim that we are paying on the 27th.
Right.
Okay. So we can approve. Where is Ethan still here? Or do you go out and talk to Grant?
I would think we ought to be able to
just
approve
sure
that
we'll
and
follow.
Then add it on next week's agenda.
Do you want to just go ahead and have a consent agenda for next week also?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say let's have a consent agenda with this item on the consent agenda prior to claims so that then we can pay this claims, we reach all the notifications, we get it all done.
Right.
Good?
Yeah. Right.
All right. So
move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So deferring that one. Okay. That gets us through consent agenda. This is fun. Let's see. Public hearing items. We have discussion and consideration of Ordinance 247, amending Table 90-1, Table of Conditional Uses from Chapter 90, Land Development Regulations, by adding human service facilities and programs. Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. That was a mouthful, man.
Again, this is the first consideration of Ordinance 247. The applicants are Youth and Shelter Services, YSS. Andrew Allen and Renee Devlin are the applicants. They are here today. It's text amendments Ordinance 01-16. What's being requested is to amend the conditional use permit application chapter 90.1. It's the table. To read residential treatment, lodging, and grounds, to use that as the conditional use process to be permitted in an A1 district, and then also what they submitted was other districts that would be acceptable at the discretion of the Board of Supervisors. The reason for this request is the YSS has interest in acquiring the property, which is south of Ames. Again, this is separate from the actual amendment that's being requested, but it gives you the bigger picture of what's involved. They're interested in acquiring a property at 5500 240th Street to use for a world-class adolescent treatment facility. The property is a 74-acre parcel. It's in an A1 district. As I said, south of Ames, it's in the Ames Urban Fringe area, in the urban service area, subcategory, urban residential, and then there's some creek areas which are designated natural areas. The vision that they had is to locate adolescent addiction treatment facility in more of a rural setting, like a campus-type environment, where their participants could experience the outdoors, recreate, experience nature, rural living, and agriculture. Their plans are tentative at this stage, but there's an existing house on that property. They envision that potentially being used for an office, also being used for the participants' family and friends to stay while they're visiting. They also have plans to build another structure west of the house for lodging up to 50 participants, and then some spaces for recreation. In the northwest portion, and we'll show you a concept drawing that was submitted, they do want to teach their participants how to farm, sustainable living, sowing the crops, harvesting, and then eating the product. This is the concept drawing that was submitted. Again, this is separate from the text amendment, but it gives you the bigger picture. This is a 74-acre parcel. There's an existing access off of 240th Street that extends to an existing house, again, which is kind of located in the northeast central part of the parcel. There's an accessory structure to the west of the house. Much of the property is either vegetated or treed. There is a creek that runs through it. There is some floodplain. And then this shows you the proposed building that they would like to build for housing their participants, some green spaces for recreation, and then again, this is where they would do their crop production. The planning staff did take a look at the request and thought that this was a good opportunity to broaden the request, to go from what was requested by the applicant to broaden that to human services, facilities, and programs. Again, allow that in a through a conditional use permit submittal process, permitted in most districts but the Greenbelt Conservation District, through the review, which would go to the departments in the county, Planning and Zoning Commission, and then ultimately Board of Adjustment. Currently, there is a provision for family homes, which allows for persons with intellectual disabilities, up to 8 persons, under code of Iowa 135C. Also includes child foster care under code of Iowa chapter 237, and up to 5 elder family homes, all permitted in an AR, R1, and R2 as permitted uses. The idea is that any human service use in an A1 district, if it doesn't meet the LESA, Land Evaluation Site Assessment score, between 267 or 300, if it lands in that range, then it would not be permitted in that district because the land would be productive farm ground. So this is what the amendment would look like. It would add human services, facilities, and programs, except uses that are already permitted under a family home definition under Chapter 85. Again, through the conditional use permit process, permitted in all districts but the countryside, or the Greenbelt Conservation District, with the exception, if it's in an A1 district and it has a high LESA score, then it could not be located in that A1 district. As briefly touched on, the Ames, City of Ames, Gilbert, Story County did enter into an agreement for an Ames Urban Fringe plan in 2006. There's a 28E agreement that accompanies that plan that was adopted in 2011. It addresses the role and process of the cities and the county in reviewing amendments to the plan, zoning authority, subdivision review, and annexation. Story County's zoning authority under the plan is clearly identified under 5111. It says nothing in this agreement shall be construed or applied to limit the county's legislative authority or discretion in adopting or amending its land use regulations. Ames planning staff does recognize this and understand this, but when it comes to the request at hand, if this is approved, again, with regard to YSS's plan to do their development south of Ames, they want to make sure that it fits in with the plan, with the area, and that there's no impediments, and that they realize that there may be a potential for annexation and then developing under city standards. So at the November 22 City Council meeting, City of Ames, unanimous vote, they did state that the proposed human service amendment in the A1 district of the county is not incompatible with the intent of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. However, they wanted to ensure that city development standards are met, again, to address the potential for future annexation that may occur at some point in the future. So they directed their staff to put together a letter, which we did provide a copy to you, which references the potential for special conditions. And these are standard things that usually fall in place for like subdivisions, but it talks about requiring property owners to sign covenants agreeing to future annexation at the city's request, waiver of protesting future assessments for public improvements, acknowledgement that development must connect to city services at the city's request and at the property owner's expense. So typically those are things that you see that we have seen first residential subdivisions. This is what took place with like the Irons at the golf course. So what types of human services uses might we see with this conditional use permit submittal process? Could include a number of things such as residential group homes, outpatient treatment, home health services, before and after school programs, public transportation services, nutrition programs, disaster preparedness. Again, those are some of the things. When reviewing a request to amend the Story County Land Development Regulations, it says to really look at two documents. One is the comp plan, which is now the C2C plan, and then look at how it conforms to the scope and purpose of the ordinance. So we tried to pull in some of that information. Again, through the C2C process, we received a lot of good information from the citizens of Story County through the visioning workshops that we did and the public open house sessions that we held. And there was reoccurring statements that were made. And then just focusing in on weaknesses and threats to governance, leadership, and learning environments, there were points made about the need for non-athletic youth facilities, youth opportunities outside areas, outside the city of Ames, need to develop a county-wide network of services. They talked about conflicts preserving farm ground versus development of rural residential pockets, housing need, and then limited pool of medical services not spread evenly throughout the county. Strengths, they mentioned community gardening, local food systems, the abundance of volunteers, threshold learning center was identified, school programs identified, lots of business growth in Ames and surrounding area. Healthcare was also mentioned. So to try to tie in the request to the C2C plan, again, a lot of these things are things that we have to work on yet, but address the ability to provide for buffering between proposed and existing uses. Goal 3, consider the availability and capacity of local services and infrastructure when determining future land uses. Encourage new urban development within city boundaries or within appropriately planned locations as designated by the plan. 5, establish open space buffers or greenways that provide connectivity from one city to the next when adjacent to ag areas or natural resources. Minimize development impacts through transitional uses, edge treatments, and other appropriate measures. Again, the property that they're looking at is in the Ames River Fringe area, but it does have It's a 74-acre parcel, does have vegetated areas, trees, and the buildings they're proposing would be more centrally located. Ensure that land use transitions are gradual or designed to reduce potential incompatibilities among land uses. Ag conservation designation area, encourage high value ag lands to remain as ag and discourage non-ag development. Again, the property that they're looking at is in the fringe area. We did run the LISA scores. It did come up with a low evaluation. The zoning ordinance, again, Chapter 85, there was a lot of relevancy with what was proposed with these sections. Sub B talks about a balance between the land use rights of individual landowners and the economic and social environment, mental concerns of the public when a city or the county is developing or enforcing land use regulations outside corporate limits. C says to ensure orderly development and provide for the regulation and control of the extension of public improvements, public services and utilities, and improvements of land, and the design of subdivisions consistent with approved comprehensive and other specific area plans outside of corporate limits. Under 2 and 4, foster cooperation and collaboration between rural and urban residents and public and private enterprises that enhance the quality of life assets in the county, promote cooperation on economic development efforts to retain and attract businesses. If you talk to the applicants, you know, they have some pretty strong plans for that property and, you know, the impact that that's going to have on the economy. Four, implement cooperative planning efforts among local governments to ensure orderly and efficient development at the fringes of the county communities and to minimize rural and urban conflicts. We also took a look at what the adjacent counties do for human service uses. Webster County allows clinics, charitable institutions, juvenile residential homes, chemical dependency or mental health facilities in an A1, agricultural preservation, their transitional agricultural district with a granting of a conditional use permit, similar to what's being proposed. Healthcare, social service, and permitted uses in a C1 general commercial district. Boone County, similar healthcare and social services permitted in a C1. Polk County, however, for institutional residential uses, which include group care facilities, nursing homes, protective living, shelter care, do permit those in the residential and mixed-use districts up to 8 persons. Over that requires a conditional use permit submittal. Clinton County, similar to conditional use, they have a special exception use and permit persons with physical and mental disabilities in an A1 and ag, recreational, and suburban and urban residential districts, again, with a special exception use permit process that's approved by the Board of Adjustment. We did communicate with the interagency review team. Really didn't get a lot of comments except for if this does get approved, we'll get a conditional use permit submittal. Engineering department indicated expressed an interest in having dust control be applied. Environmental health indicated that with the number of units being proposed with the new building, that it would fall under the DNR's purview for regulations. On December 1st, December 15th, we did publish notice in the local papers, received no responses back. We did communicate with Ames. They did provide input with regard to suggesting an amendment to that table. City of Gilbert initially indicated that they waived their right to review. I had some communication before the meeting. I think this is going to be something that's going to be on their agenda. There may be some confusion. This is something that requires approval by the City of Ames, City of Gilbert, and Story County to be approved.
The project. We control our own.
I misspoke. Yeah. I'm thinking about the next item.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually waive their right to review this, and that's acceptable.
Right.
The amendment, which is the next item that I'm going to talk about, I'm sorry.
Okay, yep.
They waived the right on that, and I think there's some confusion about that.
Yep.
So in summary, you know, staff does support this. We think the conditional use permit process is the best way to deal with this. As mentioned in Chapter 90.01, it provides for the flexibility in identifying the special conditions without making the ordinance unreasonably complicated. Two, provides for a clear avenue for evaluating the potential impact of proposed uses on site, neighborhood, environment, and area streets. We're not proposing any additional detailed standards be applied other than the normal standards of approval. We think it's consistent with the comp plan, consistent with the development regulations that I mentioned. It'll give the opportunity for other human services to locate in various districts of the county with the submittal of a CUP. Conditions can be imposed if the Planning and Zoning Commission staff and Board of Adjustment feel that it's necessary. Again, the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval of this without the amendment. They view conditional uses as being part of the zoning authority of the county and thought that this was not the appropriate tool to use for suggesting that there be other city requirements or special.
That's handled other places, isn't it? I mean, that was going to be my question. That cities maintain their rights. We don't need to put their rights in our ordinances, right?
Right. And I think they're just suggesting that for applicants, if they're in an A1 district, if they're in the Ames Urban Fringe, in those areas, that they be aware that there may be other.
No, completely agree, but I don't think our ordinance is the mechanism for dealing with that. So,
and that's the position that the Planning and Zoning Commission took. The language that we put before the Planning and Zoning Commission is this: any proposed conditional use permit request located in an A1 district that would be located in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan and within the urban service area or urban rural urban residential transitional area may be subject to other city special conditions such as annexation and other service requirements.
Well, so it is whether we say that or not.
Yeah, annexation and so forth. Yeah, absolutely right.
So it feels to me, Jerry, and you just helped me unpack all this, it feels to me like we're conflating several issues, and I want to just, right now, I want to just deal with proposed Ordinance 247, right? So, sounds like a great project from YSS. Really excited to see that project march through to its full fruition. But 247, other than coming about because of what YSS wants to do, 247 doesn't have anything to do with this project other than giving it a mechanism to be considered, right? All 247 does, if it were to pass, is to say, yeah, there's a mechanism to consider something, multiple things like this, in an A1 district.
Right, right.
It just stands on its own. It does not alleviate any of the requirements that any municipality might put on it if you're inside their 2-mile buffer. It doesn't even say that any specific project will ultimately be approved if it goes through this. It lays out the criteria for how a project, maybe like this one, but any project that falls meets these criteria would be considered. Is that fair to unpack it in that way?
I think you're right on. And again, part of this is because of where they're proposing to locate if this gets approved.
That's how this became developed.
That prompted us to communicate with the city of Gilbert, with the city of Ames, and that's why we received the
information. Well, absolutely. So this potential ordinance got created because we didn't have a mechanism to consider what YSS does.
Right.
But as we talk about this ordinance, we need to talk about it bigger and broader than YSS, and frankly, not specifically about the YSS project. We need to talk about, does this make sense for Story County? I think it does. I think it makes sense that we would consider a project like this in an A1 district if they can get a conditional use permit. I think it lays it out pretty clearly. Why this makes sense for Story County. Thoughts before we open the public hearing? Wayne, any questions before we open the public hearing?
No, I just wanted to really commend Jerry and staff and Deb when this idea was first proposed to really dig in, and we recognized right off the bat that we did not have a mechanism in place for a human service agency of sorts such as YSS under our ordinance to do this, and it and further research realize that a text amendment, if approved, would need to be put in place in order for this to move forward. And also I had the opportunity to visit with the property owner and hearing the concerns of supporting an initiative such as YSS and what this brings to the people that they serve. The interesting thing about this is the location has a lot of other pluses as well, because not only is it removed from the city proper, as you might say, but it is in more of an agricultural setting, but it allows those participants to be brought into our community a little bit more on supervised type activities and things, which also enhances their opportunity to be inclusive. And I think it's certainly fitting with the longstanding history of YSS, this particular one, for this location. But I certainly agree that as I first started listening and seeing this, first thought came to mind, 74 acres. Boy, I said, I remember a few years ago there was some talk about a human service campus, and there were talk about other kinds of things. And then if you drive down 163 through Jefferson County, and you see this big building facility right off the side that in-house all of these things, who knows what the future may hold. But I think it's important for us as a board to first of all have a mechanism in place if we believe it's appropriate. And so I wanted to not only commend you, but also to commend Andrew and the YSS board for their at least visioning the possibilities. And then hopefully we'll see where this would go.
Yep, and so I appreciate all your points. I think they're really, really well made. I want to underscore the last thing you said, and that is Ordinance 247, if passed, has nothing really to do with YSS, except it gives them the mechanism they would use for this project to be considered. So I want to separate any potential project YSS might have from Ordinance 247. Even though it's the impetus behind 247 getting to us, this is bigger and broader than that. And this is going to apply to everybody that might fall into this category. Anything else before public hearing?
You're right on.
All right, let's open public hearing and see if there's anyone who wants to address Ordinance 247. Seeing no one, I'm going to close the public hearing and turn to the board for potential action.
My question is, under most ordinance and so forth, if this is approved on first reading,
yep.
Knowing what our schedule is, when will the second reading be held? January 3rd?
That's when I would want to do it, if you were willing to move that.
I would move Ordinance 247 on first consideration to amend Table 90.1 and on conditional use for Chapter 90, Land Development Regulations, adding human service facilities and programs, and set second reading for January 3rd.
And I'll second. Discussion.
Now, as I said before, I feel very good about the direction that we're taking and looking broader than just one entity. I wanted to, again see that this is another example of the forward progress in thinking that we have seen develop here in Story County over the years. But I think the fact that we have such a wide array of community support and other entities and programs and services like this, that makes us unique. And so I think this is a right step for Story County, and I hope to see it continue in the future.
Very good. With that, Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. So Ordinance 247 passed on first reading. Second reading will be January 3rd. Absolutely. Discussion consideration of Resolution 1753 amending the Ames Urban Fringe Plan use and land use classes map. Here.
Okay. Yeah, a little background. City of Ames received a development request proposal from Pintas that involved three parcels consisting of a 21-acre parcel owned by George Belitzos and a 13-acre parcel, actually two, one's very small, owned by John R. Crane. They're located west Ames on the south side of Lincoln Way, east of 500th Avenue. Trinitas is proposing to annex and construct anywhere from 1 to 5 bedroom dwellings. These things could be considered duplexes, townhomes, or cottage-style units. They want to develop, annex, and develop under the city standards. Properties are located, again, in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. The east 21 acres is designated highway-oriented commercial. The north third, central third, there's a creek that runs through it, is natural areas. The south third is designated urban residential. The west 13 acres is mostly designated urban residential. Small portion in the northeast area is natural areas. Primary designation of the north portion of the 21 acres is rural urban transition area. And what's important to note here is only urban service areas may be annexed. So that's a big part of this request. The applicant initially requested a map amendment after they met with the staff to change the sub-area, which is highway-oriented commercial. We've got some maps to show you. And the rural-urban transition area, which is the primary category, to urban residential, which is the subcategory. Primary category would be urban service area for the north portion of that 21-acre parcel. After the city staff reviewed the request, they met with Campus Fortress, who has the property to the west of this area, the mini storage commercial use. They're also interested in this, interested in annexing. It also includes Mr. Belitzo's 1.5-acre parcel, which includes his dwelling. Both properties are designated highway-oriented commercial and rural-urban transitional along Lincoln Way. And again, in order for the property to be annexed, the plan requires it to be changed from rural-urban transition area to urban services area as a land use class. City staff also identified some issues with the policies in the plan. Convenience commercial nodes, which there's one located at the intersection of Lincoln Way and 500th Avenue.
Explain just what that is for all the people that are listening.
It's kind of a broad brush stroke that identifies the need to encourage commercial uses, which can include retail type uses. It's supposed to serve residences within a certain radius, usually like a mile to 2 miles, can cover up to 2,000 to 3,000 people. So convenience commercial nodes, those uses can be annexed. But if you're designated highway-oriented commercial, it doesn't allow for that. So that's one of the reasons for this request. To address the conflicts, they added the city planning staff, City of Ames, added the Campus Fortress property. They're suggesting that they retain the land use framework map designation of highway-oriented commercial to reflect the general use of commercial businesses and the intent of the convenience commercial node shown at the intersection. So the policy that they're proposing, the amendment, is in the center of this right here, and it says when highway-oriented commercial property is within an urban service area designation, a property may be annexed without a land use framework map amendment. The intent of this option is to further the policies of the convenience commercial node, which again kind of overlaps this area. The second part of this again is to amend the land use classes map from rural urban transition to urban service so that it can be annexed. So finally, we're into a map that we can see. Again, this is Lincoln Way. We're in West Ames. The city's corporate limits is the red line, which is north-south. The area affected by the text and the map amendment is crosshatched. It includes the 1.5-acre part of the 21-acre parcel. Also includes the Campus Fortress property. Again, that's just for the amendment. Mm-hmm. The housing project primarily would be in the southern portion of this area right here. This is the land use classes map. Again, it would be a proposed change from the rural-urban transitional area to the urban services area, which is the dark brown. Mm-hmm. little more detail. Amendment is to keep the sub area highway oriented commercial designation and change the map from rural urban transition to urban service to allow it to be annexed. And so again, we're looking at everything inside this black highlighted area. Again, so the designation on the plan would stay the same. Process to amend the plan involves all three entities agreeing to consider an application, which that took place. City of Ames supported the request at their September 13th meeting this year. City of Gilbert, October 3. Story County, October 4. We did have some folks at the October 4 Board of Supervisors meeting express some interest, concern with stormwater drainage, traffic. Some of those things are being addressed now by the city. They're doing a traffic study. There's some questions about where the accesses would take place. Again, this is all good questions, but right now we're dealing with changes to a planning document. They do envision like one access realistically occurring off of Lincoln Way, one access off of 500th. They did mention that the, you know, any issues with stormwater drainage will occur after annexation, but during a subdivision plat review process, and it will have to meet the city stormwater.
Sure. But our role in this, Gary, is simply to consider whether we're willing to change the current designation from transitional to urban services, which then allows, if we make that change, allows Ames to annex, and then Ames deals with it however they're going to deal with it. It stops being a county issue. It's interesting to me that this was ever a transitional area. It looks to me like when you look all around this, and it's more either residential, urban residential, or urban services. And so it's interesting to me that this was ever thought it was going to be transitional from one to another. It makes sense to me.
The transitional part came in because Boone County was close by, and we were thinking about annexing the eastern part of Boone County.
Yeah, you were.
Historically. I kept telling the supervisors that year after year, and maybe somehow it trickled down. But yeah, terminology in land use planning, the average person really doesn't see all the nuances and all the things that are there, but you envision so many different components that could be there simply because it's on the highway orientation, and then the fact that it's outside of the Ames area proper at that point in time before expansion developed. I could see why terminology may have been used, because at one point, and I don't know exactly when this was approved, but there probably weren't many homes developed out in that area.
2006.
Yeah, at that point in time. And so over time, it seems more than appropriate that we are taking a look at this designation for our future development potential.
No, I think it's absolutely appropriate. What else before we open the public hearing?
We got photos. I mean, some of these things we showed you the first time around of the, that's the site. Looking east, Campus Fortress property, looking to the west. And then this is looking east off of 500, looking back north. Again, the process, the city anticipates this taking 7 to 8, 9 months. If this is approved, the applicant would like to have houses constructed with occupancies occurring in 2018. They do need to obtain approval from all three entities. Again, this is the one where the city of Gilbert waived their right to review it. I think there might be some confusion. It does require approval of an amendment to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan of all three entities. So the response back was that they could get it back on their January 9th agenda. The applicant would have to initiate an annexation petition, the city would study traffic, the issues with sanitary, stormwater would need to be addressed, and in talking with the planning staff, they would probably need to amend the ordinance, because this is what's being proposed is something new.
Sure.
For the city. So that would have to take place as well. But this,
and that's for the city to deal with.
Exactly.
Our role in this, and Gilbert's got to deal with what Gilbert's got to deal with, our role is either approve or not approve this change in designation on this parcel from transitional to urban services, right? Then it falls to the city of, well, then Gilbert has to consider whether they're going to approve it or not, and then it all falls to the city of Ames to move through the annexation process, and if they move through the annexation process, to put whatever requirements they want to put on for anything that might be constructed, what would then be within the city of Ames.
Correct. Planning staff, Planning and Zoning Commission did support the request. You know, this is an area where there's commercial development. Properties would be contiguous. So we see the value in the requested change, which brings us to the December 7th Planning and Zoning Commission. They did recommend approval of the text and the map amendment, which this states the Story County Board of Supervisors recommends approval of the requested text and map amendments to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan.
And I don't think we entered into the Ames Urban Fringe Plan expecting that the way the map and text looked at the moment it was adopted was the way it was going to be forever. In fact, we've seen multiple changes, and we're going to see more. And I think this is exactly the right way to deal with it. Anything before we open the public hearing, Wayne? In that case, we'll open the public hearing and ask if there's anyone who would like to address Resolution 1753. Seeing no one moving the microphone, I'll close the public hearing. Turn to you, Wayne, for potential action.
Move Resolution 1753, amending the text and map amendment for the Ames Urban Fringe and land use class map.
And I'll second. Discussion. Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. 1753 passes. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
All right, let's see. We're getting to the end of you, Jerry. Let's see the next one.
With me.
Is discussion and consideration of Resolution 1755 for proposed vacation of alley and partial street right away. We've done this twice. Make this one really, really quick.
Really, really quick? Okay. The select property owners in the Iowa Center location north of Maxwell, about 2 miles north of Maxwell, requested vacation of part of the alleys, part of the east portion of Jackson Street right-of-way to provide more space for dwellings, single-family home improvements. It would also allow more space for septic systems. These are the applicants: Susan Jones, who is here today, executor for Mary J. Tyler, Kenny Eusberger, Kenmon Investments, Gordon, Patricia Smith. Again, those are the property owners. We're north of Maxwell, about 2 miles. This shows you a closer view. Again, we're talking about several alleys within the original platted Iowa Center village area. Alleys are about 16 feet in width, Jackson Street right away. Again, we're just talking about the east portion of Jackson Street, which is in this area. All the alleys and the portion of Jackson Street to be vacated are unimproved by the county. Shows you a graphic, the crosshatch areas, beautiful map that Emily prepared, Tyler, or Jones, green, Kenmon, purple, blue, Jones. Again, these would be separate parcels, and then the Smiths would acquire half of the east, furthest east alley area. Site photos, 295th looking east. Try to give you an idea as to what the area looks like now. There was some trees that were removed. The information is that a lot of those trees were either leaning, they were rotting, or they were diseased or falling down. So they tried to clear those up. Eusberger dwelling, some facade improvements. This is the east end of Jackson Street. Conceptual review meeting. Held November 10. The Environmental Health Department, again, was supportive of it. More space for septics, which is a good thing. Auditor's staff suggested that the east portion of Jackson Street be included, which it is. We did receive a letter in support by the three property owners of the areas that should be vacated to those three property owners. That's dated November 29 of this year. We sent notices to property owners within a quarter mile of the area, November 29, December 9. Courtesy copy was also sent to the city of Maxwell. We did receive a call from one property owner to the northeast who was in support of what's going on there and also in support of the vacation. Board of Supervisors did approve a resolution last week, December 13, to set the hearing for today. Basically, staff views this as a good thing. Again, it'll allow more space for improvements, and the existing road network won't be impacted. The adjacent property owners, those that traverse through that location, will still be able to do that. So everything will be accomplished still. So with that, that's what was recommended to the Planning and Zoning Commission. They did support the request at their December 7 meeting, which brings us to alternative one. The Story County Board of Supervisors recommends approval of the alleys and partial street right-of-way vacation of Jackson Street, located in Iowa Center, case admin 02-16. Be happy to answer your questions.
Super. Wayne, any questions before we open the public hearing?
No.
All right. In that case, we will open the public hearing and ask if there is anyone who would like to address Resolution 1755. Seeing no one moving the microphone, we will close the public hearing and turn to the board for action.
Move approval of 1755 for proposed vacation of the alley and partial street right away.
And I'll second. Further discussion. Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. 1755 passes. Good job, Gary.
Thank you.
That takes care of all the public hearing items. On to additional items, discussion and consideration of the purchase of 7 new vehicles for the Sheriff's Office as budgeted from Stivers Ford in the amount of $161,381. Leanne Berry, come on up.
Greg, I should tell you, years ago, back in the 70s, I got a police special vehicle that was really equipped, and I could get on the highway and outrun or stay up with any law enforcement official. So, you know, you don't suppose I could find a way to get something like this just to kind of keep up with you guys in case you needed somebody to have a camera here to take some pictures of all the great work you're doing, do you?
Appreciate you offering that up, but also I wonder what the statute of limitations are and all that you were doing back in the day.
So I'm saying, I wouldn't admit it here.
Well, you know, as you always say, that was a little wild moment in my life.
All right, so these are vehicles that were budgeted, not necessarily all the specifications talked through in budgeting. I think it fits within the dollar amount that we plugged in. Leanna, you and I had a lot of conversations during the budget time about how we arrived at 7 vehicles. I don't know if you want to address that or if you want to just address these specific vehicles and what we're talking about doing with them. And I'm always interested in what we're replacing.
Okay. Well, I don't think that we need to address like the number of vehicles that we're purchasing. It works well with what we've got now, right now to be replaced. One of them that we're replacing is the Sheriff's Tahoe, which is being moved over to the Department of Health as a pool vehicle, and we're getting rid of the Durango. We are moving one of our Tahoes also to a reserve vehicle to get rid of a 2009 Crown Vic, which is much needed replacement. And then we are replacing a drug task force vehicle that we've had for about 6 years now, being Chevy Colorado, and we're replacing 4 marked patrol units that are in the up for the 4-year rotation.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
Nope. This is less budgeted, you say, and so now is the time to try to move forward and get those.
Yes, yeah, so what we're recommending as far as the specifications and the vehicles falls well under the budgeted amount. I believe somewhere around $34,000 under budget. I guess I would just defer you to, if you have any questions regarding the specifications as they are requested, I can give you more information on each of those if needed.
Well, just talk just briefly about the fact that this is a dealership that is outside of Story County, and I know most people don't understand the process that you go through when you're looking at bids for vehicles and so forth. So if you might just address a little bit, that situation as it may relate to if a question ever comes up, well, why did we not purchase locally?
Okay. Well, we had put out a letter to 10 dealers, all of the dealers that are within Story County, and then also the ones within Polk County that has won the state bids. And out of those, there was four dealers that showed up to provide bids. Ames Ford Lincoln, Stivers Ford, as well as Dewey Ford and Charles Davis Ford. We provided a list of required specifications as far as needing police package vehicles, being the SUV, so we have the four-wheel drive. And then they also had looked at the cars that the vehicles that were trading in, provided trade-in value, and then we come up with a bottom dollar figure, and Stivers Ford was well under bid in comparison to the other three dealers that bid. The next lowest bid came from Ames Ford Lincoln, but there was a difference of about $11,000. Therefore, we were making the recommendation to go with Stivers because of the difference in the cost.
So I had a conversation with a local dealer, and the question always comes back, oh, you got to do business locally, which I agree with the premise, that we should be doing business with a Story County dealer. But even beyond that, it's stewardship of taxpayer dollars. And so this dealer asked me the question, well, how close do we have to get? And I said, well, zero to me is a pretty good starting point. Just be the lowest bid. We want you to be the lowest bid. We're pulling for you to be the lowest bid. We're asking for the same thing from everybody. But when on seven vehicles, there's $11,000 difference, to me, that's sufficient rationale to go outside the boundaries of Story County for the taxpayer dollars. And so that's how we got there, and I commend you guys on your work. And I just want to note this. In the bid, so some people would immediately say, well, that includes trade-in, so clearly somebody's manipulating trade-in value. Stivers actually did not give us the best trade-in value when you went through and look at all the bids. So I feel really comfortable with where we are on it.
Good.
I'm going to ask this because Paul Toot asked this back when he was still with us and talked to us about remote start and the advantage of having remote start on those.
Okay. Yes, actually, I'm going to have some articles, too, if you wish to look. Recent events that make the news, and they make the news very often when people steal a police vehicle, anywhere from being on a call for service, working a traffic accident, or just having somebody in custody in your vehicle. There's several incidents that happen across the country of people stealing the police vehicles. We need to keep the vehicles running in order to keep the battery charged because you got lights and radio and everything else putting a drain on the battery, as well as the fact of temperature control if you've got a subject that you need to have seated in your patrol car during that time. We are looking, as far as the marked patrol vehicles, we're looking at an option that would allow for all that, as well as fuel savings, but it's a very costly option at about $1,000 per vehicle when we do our changeovers. But when it comes to the administration vehicle and the drug task force vehicle, they are on site, scene, or traffic stops more of a limited amount of time, and the remote start would be a lower cost and adequate alternative to spending $1,000 on equipping them with deep cycle batteries and a system that will allow your vehicle to run with the keys out of it in order to have that temperature control and battery maintenance and only run when required to run. So this is just another alternative that is just a lot lower expense.
Yeah, but we're talking about on the unmarked vehicles, a standard, what all of us would consider to be a remote start. But on our marked vehicles, actually just more of a option to be able to run them in a secure fashion when we don't have a deputy in them.
Correct. And that's why, as far as the specifications, we're only asking for remote start on the two vehicles that are unmarked for that purpose.
Yep. I felt like I had to bring it up because I know you and Paul had that conversation back in the spring.
That's part of the reason why, when, you know, many times this item ends up on the consent agenda, but we knew that there was questions last year. We wanted to make sure that we were available. And, you know, I applaud this board. You've always given us opportunity to talk these issues through, even if we don't see eye to eye on the outcome. It's always reasonable. We always appreciate the opportunity to come in. And one thing I would also emphasize is, you know, we try to be good stewards always of the taxpayer dollars as well as the sheriff's office. We try to be good stewards of our position, too, and doing what we can to secure these vehicles so that they're not stolen is insurance for us. It might sound like a luxury when we talk about remote start, but that's not the issue here. It's about insurance so we don't go down the road and end up on the local 9 news like they did down in Texas last night because they had a police car stolen.
Good. Thank you. Anything else, Wayne?
No.
All right.
Appreciate the discussion.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I take a motion.
With that, I would move approval of the purchase of the 7 vehicles from Cyrus Ford in the amount of $161,381, which was the budget tonight.
And I'll second and remind me how much under budget that is. You said it.
$34,618, I believe. Let me verify. Is that better? Oh. Yep, $34,619.
Outstanding. And here's what's amazing, Barry, and you can go back to the Just Center. Pays for those firearms that we bought last week.
All works well together.
Absolutely. All right. Clint.
Aye.
Aye. It passes. Thanks. Thank you for being here today.
And maybe just a bit out of place, but because I have two guns, I'm going to go ahead and take the time to do it in an open hearing. I want to thank Wayne for your service as a public servant for Story County. You're truly a hero to all of us in public service, and just want to thank you openly for all that you've done.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry.
You bet.
Next item is discussion consideration of Resolution 1760, the Hugh Minor subdivision. Emily. Hi, Emily.
Request for a minor subdivision located in Section 11 of Nevada Township. The applicants for the subdivision are William and Jean Van Sickle, who own property at 66212 Lincoln Way in Nevada. The vicinity map, we're in northeastern Nevada Township, about smack dab in the middle between Nevada and Colo. About 2.5 miles from each. Here's a subject property. The current zoning is the agricultural residential. Within 2 miles, we have 16 dwellings on about 34 parcels. Four parcels are equal or greater than 35 acres in size, which would allow us to issue a permit for a single-family dwelling on those acres. I'm sorry, on those parcels. Nine parcels are less than 35 acres in size. The Chicago Northwestern Railroad does run approximately 500 feet to the south of the subject property there. The surrounding land use, as you can see, there are quite a few residential subdivisions surrounding this property. There is also an ag subdivision to the northeast here. The current configuration of this property is currently a 5.72-acre parcel. The applicant currently owns this parcel to the west of the subject property, which contains a single-family dwelling and a detached garage. The two accessory structures located on the subject property are accessory to that dwelling located on the parcel to the west. Because of that, planning and development did require restrictive covenant, ensuring these parcels remain under the same ownership until a zoning permit is submitted for a single-family dwelling on that for this new proposed lot one. The proposed lot one is 2.09 net acres. Proposed lot two to the east is 3.63 net acres. Here's the plat, as you can see, the accessory structures are both on proposed lot one. Some site photos, proposed lot one to the right there, proposed lot two. This is looking southeast from Lincoln Highway. Here are the two accessory buildings on proposed lot one. Lot one again. Here's proposed lot two, which as you can see is open space currently. Looking east along Lincoln Highway, the property is vegetated to the north. There are some dwellings across Lincoln Highway as well as on either side of the subject property. And then looking west along Lincoln Highway here. The minor subdivision plat requirements. This contains no more than four development lots. All the development lots are fronted on existing public street. And the subdivision includes no land set apart for new streets, alleys, parks, etc. No agriculture or minor subdivisions have been approved for the tracts after December 2003. Just some comments from the interagency review team. Just some basic questions from planning and development. Environmental health mentioned that the soils may require a mound or sand filter just due to the clay content, but that would be addressed with a septic permit. And these two lots would be addressed as residential. We did send notification letters once before the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting on December 7th, and then again before this meeting. We didn't receive any comments from the public. So in summary, the subject property meets the requirements for the minor subdivision. The property was created in 2000, which is why we needed to go through the minor subdivision process on this one. It's designated rural residential on the C2C comprehensive plan, so two more residential lots does fit in with the comp plan. Approximately half of the acres, half of the parcels have single-family dwellings on them. The size of the two proposed lots fits in well with these surrounding residential properties. The subject property is not currently in agricultural production. The property was surrounded by residential subdivisions, and the property owner has signed the restrictive covenant requested by the Planning and Development Department. So recommendation, Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the minor subdivision plat, the Hughes subdivision, as proposed in case SUB 1216, which is alternative number one.
Questions, Wayne?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. Pretty straightforward.
Great. I would move resolution 1760, alternative one, as presented.
And I'll second. Further discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Thanks. All right, no agency reports, no departmental reports, no other reports. Public forum number two. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address topics that are not on today's agenda. We can't address them. We can't take any action due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address us on anything? Liaison assignments, Wayne.
Pass.
And I'll pass. Announcements from the supervisors.
Very quickly, I would be remiss if I didn't take the time to say how much I appreciated last Wednesday all the work that went in for my retirement celebration, thanking particularly my office staff and all those that were instrumental in the planning, the outreach from friends and colleagues that I work with on other boards and commissions from around the state. Was very heartwarming that they took the time to actually travel from some distance to be here, and it was a special moment. This morning I was honored by the Ames Chamber and Economic Development for my years of service at their annual meeting. It was, again, another heartwarming moment for me, and yesterday a special opportunity with the auditor staff. They gave me a very nice plaque that actually, for the first time, actually said something about that I was retiring. All the others thanked me for all my service, but that was a kind of a special plaque. So I asked Lucy if I could just have a picture with all of her staff, and they agreed to come in yesterday, and so I will cherish that along with many of the others. But it truly has been a labor of love, and I know that Story County will be in good hands as they move forward. So I can't say enough about the atmosphere and the opportunity to be of service in this county. I think people just don't realize what a great place it is to live and work, and I'm sure that in years to come I'll be able to look back and be appreciative of not only some of the accomplishments that we made, but also see that the groundwork is in place for Story County to continue to grow and prosper in years to come.
Outstanding. Thank you, Wayne. And one more. We've got to do this one more time. This is your last formal meeting as a supervisor. I have loved the 6 years that I've served with you. But more importantly than that, Story County is a much better place because of your 16 years of service. So we have one more plaque for you. You haven't gotten enough plaques, and it says, Wayne E. Clinton, in appreciation of 16 years of leadership, dedication, and service to the citizens of Story County. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's take a picture right here. Let's do it right here.
Oh. You have to suck it in?
Suck it all in. Look pretty. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All set. All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
And if there's nothing else, I'd take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And I'll second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.